right, we're going to be in Hosea chapter 6. Let's go to Hosea 6. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. I want to show you just a few places. This is really just some things that I've been kind of meditating on a little bit and considering somewhat in light of what I preached on last Wednesday night, the issue of God's chastening hand, and the fact that sometimes the chastening of the Lord is often in response to maybe sin in our lives or something like that, but it's not always that way. Sometimes it's just God working in us, working to shape us and mold us, and He puts us through trials, through sometimes unpleasant circumstances, in order that we would come out the other side different and more Christ-like. And that was kind of the theme of the message last week from Hebrews chapter 12. But with that in mind, I've just had some time to think and consider and pray over the issue of, okay, when we go through those seasons, when we go through a trial, when we face a tragedy perhaps, or just a time where the Lord allows us to go through some hardship, we come out the other side and hopefully we're better off for it, but then there's this process of kind of healing from it. And how do we go about healing? And so I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight. I'm not going to keep you long, but hopefully just share some scripture with you that may be of help to you. So let's stand together. We'll just read verses 1 and 2 of Hosea 6 here, and I'll let you be seated. It says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. So here in this verse, obviously the book of Hosea is, you know, there's several different aspects to the prophecies that are in the book. We're not going to take a lot of time to deal with the context of it and all that, but basically the idea is this, that God's people often wander away from Him. We rebel. We get out of the will of God. And that's true. It was true for the nation of Israel. In fact, that kind of, as you read the history of the nation of Israel, that's kind of the recurring theme all the way through from the Lord bringing them out of Egypt all the way through to the time of Christ, or at least through the Babylonian captivity. You have these constant cycles of tenderness toward the Lord, seeking the Lord, and then idolatry and rebellion. I've recently just been reading through the book of Judges in my personal Bible reading, and the pattern of Judges is very much like that. It's cyclical of idolatry and rebellion against God, and then God's judgment upon them, and then their repentance toward the Lord and seeking of the Lord, and then His deliverance. And so you see that pattern played out in the book of Judges, but even once they had kings and everything, I mean, that's just a constant. It seemed like a constant. They'd do well for a while, and then they would turn away from the Lord. And while it is true that we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us, and we as His people, those who are saved, we don't ever fall away from the Lord in terms of, you know, losing our salvation or losing that relationship. It's never a permanent falling away. But the reality is that our lives are rarely just a consistent progression upward. We'll have times that we're doing really well and growing closer to the Lord, and then times where maybe we grow a little bit cold and become a little bit inward or a little bit carnal and fleshly and worldly focused and those kinds of things. And then when that happens, God in His love and His mercy brings us back. And oftentimes the process of Him bringing us back is a painful one. It is not a pleasant thing when we endure the chastening of the Lord. We know that. We talked about that last week, right? That no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. But it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When we face difficulty, in fact, if you find yourself tonight in the middle of a trial, for whatever reason, maybe it's a response to sin in your life, that happens. Maybe it's just God shaping and molding and working in you, but look up and praise God that He has not left you to yourself. He is working for your good. And so here in Hosea 6 then, there's kind of this plea. And here's what he says, come and let us return unto the Lord. I want to just say to you tonight that that is the only proper response to the chastening of the Lord, is to turn back to Him or to turn to Him. Our flesh often wants to do the opposite. We'll find other things and sometimes run away from God. I see this sometimes even with my children, especially the younger ones. Our youngest son, Philip, he's 4. And one of the things that we're working on right now in his character is that when he gets in trouble, when he's being disciplined for something, a lot of times his response is to fold his arms and pout. Now, we kind of look at that and we say, oh, you know, this little kid, he shouldn't do that. And we don't put up with it, but it's hard sometimes not to laugh, you know, when you're disciplining. But the truth is, we can be very much like that too. God's working on us, and what do? We hang our heads and pout. Walk away. No, come, let us return unto the Lord. And I want to say to you tonight that whatever it is, if there's need for healing in your life, you've been through some things emotionally, spiritually, physically, and you say, man, I need to heal from this. The first step in healing is to return to the Lord. Go to the Lord, okay? And I want you to notice it says in verse 1 there, for he hath torn. It was the hand of the Lord that did this thing. But then it says, and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And the first principle that I want to bring out to you tonight is this. Healing comes from God. Healing comes from God. Now I know that that might sound very, you know, basic and like, yeah, obviously I already know that. But again, sometimes we go looking for the answers to life's problems, thinking that there's some key that we're missing. If I just had the right tools, if I just had the right counselor or whatever, I'm not saying any of those things are bad in and of themselves, but every Christian needs to understand that true, genuine healing comes from God. God may use tools to help. He might use other individuals to point us to truth that helps us. But really, ultimately, what you need in your healing is not some solution that you haven't figured out. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He's the one who heals. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. And on our way back there, we'll stop in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Excuse me. And he says in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm not saying this to be critical of anyone here, but I have heard people over the years, I've heard people say things like this. I just need someone to help me. I need you to help me. I'm coming to you because I need help. But you know what you really need to recognize? Your help doesn't come from man. Your healing doesn't come from man. The solution doesn't come from some program or method or book. Your help comes from the Lord. And the key is to lift up your eyes and look to the one who is able to help you, okay? Help comes from the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, of course, David here is crying out to God for mercy because of his sin with Bathsheba. And This is after Nathan the prophet has come to him and really preached against him. And he says in we could read the whole chapter, but we're not going to do that. Let's look at verse number 7. It says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Listen to this. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Notice he's not talking to a friend and saying, "Boy, God's really put me through the mill, and I need to figure out a way to get over this." He's not doing that. He's talking to God. And he says, "Lord, I need your help. Your chastening hand has been upon me, and I need healing that only comes from you." He says in verse number 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." What is he doing? He's crying out to God and saying, "Lord, I recognize that it's me and my own sin that's put me in the place where I am. But I also recognize that even though it's been your hand that has chastened me, that has caused me this pain, it is going to be your hand which has to heal me. And I'm looking to you to do these things for me. I'm looking to you to restore my joy, to renew a right spirit within me." I don't think that this can be overstated, that healing comes from God. And what you need to do if you're in a place where your heart is hurt and you need healing is to look up and seek your healing from God. That's principle number one. Principle number two that I want to share with you. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 32. Principle two is this, that healing does not always mean restoration to our previous condition. Healing does not always mean restoration to our previous condition. In Genesis chapter 32, we'll begin reading in verse number 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And then look at verse 31. "And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." So what you really have here is this instance where Jacob wrestles with the angel of the Lord. And as he is in the process of that, and I know there's a lot that we could say, and there's tons of sermons that have been preached on the issue of wrestling with God and refusing to give up and to persist in prayer until the Lord answers, till the Lord blesses, and there's all of that. But the bottom line is that Jacob came into this encounter with God one way and left another way. He came in with one name and left with a different name. He came in with a body that was whole, physically speaking, and he left with a limp that never went away. And oftentimes we look at the needs of our life and the need for healing, and we go through something, we go through a painful circumstance or a a life-altering circumstance, and we feel like we are never going to heal because life is never going to be the same, and we're never going to be the same. But I want to say to you that I don't believe it's God's desire that we always come out the same. One of the issues, and I've dealt a little bit, not drastically, not in tons of cases, but I've dealt some with individuals who have PTSD, post-traumatic stress, and sometimes that happens just because of traumatic events. Something, some major thing happens. Sometimes it's a prolonged issue, like serving in a war zone, those types of things. And there are emotional, mental, and even physical responses sometimes that come because of things that they've faced. And the problem is this, that when oftentimes what they're looking for, what they're hoping for is, I just want to go back to the way I used to be. I want to go back to the way things used to be. Just the harsh reality of life, that's rarely going to happen. There are things that happen in our lives that change us permanently. And so the goal should not be, let me go back to who I was or the way that I was before. Because if we understand that we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, or cares for us and gives us according to our needs, and He has directed our steps in this way, then we have to also accept that the changes that have taken place in my life, assuming I have responded to them correctly in a way that would honor the Lord, the changes that have taken place in my life are actually the will of God for me. That some of what He is doing is molding me into what He wants me to be. And it's not like we get saved and then just God just puts us in a room and downloads into our brain everything that we need to know and be. I wish it was that way, but that's just not reality. What is reality is that God puts us through the process of life. And in that process of life, as we walk with the Lord, there are blessings, there are good things, there are experiences that God has for us that we rejoice in, and then there are trials and there are difficulties and hardships that He puts us through, and all of these things work together, Romans 8, for our good. They work to make us into what we ought to be. And so it's a reality. My wife would tell you that I am not the same as I was when we got married. And in some ways, there are things about who I used to be that I miss, and I think she misses. I used to be a whole lot more fun to be around. Don't laugh, honey. I used to be more fun. I used to be a lot more, you know, just kind of happy-go-lucky, whatever happens. I'm not as much that way anymore. I try not to be too uptight, but life has changed me some. It does. There are also things, though, that God has done in me that I'm glad I'm not the same as I used to be. And the Lord has grown me, and the Lord has helped me, and you're better off because I'm not what I was then. And so when we look at our lives and we see hurt, and we see the chastening hand of the Lord, we need to be careful not to think, okay, here's what I need to do. Healing always looks like going back to the way things used to be. Because that approach and that attitude then kind of, it kind of disregards the fact that actually God has brought me to where I am for a reason and for a purpose. And so what we really ought to be doing is saying, Lord, what do you want in my life since you have brought these changes in me? What would you have me to be? I can tell you this about Jacob, though he was an imperfect man, certainly till the day of his death. Jacob seemingly was a lot more humble after this encounter with the Lord than he was before. And the testimony of his life is, it's interesting to me, in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of him blessing Joseph and the sons of Joseph. It speaks of him blessing them, leaning upon his staff. Now, I know that he was an old man, and you can probably just write that off and say, well, you know, he was just old, so he had a cane or something. But I find it interesting that the Bible records that for us, that he was leaning upon his staff. Because it seems like from this moment forward, this became part of Jacob's identity. Why would I say that? Because verse 32, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank. I mean, this became not only a life-changing moment for Jacob himself, but even for his descendants. That they had this kind of tradition that they wouldn't eat a certain part of the animal, kind of as a memorial for God meeting with their father Jacob. This was a significant moment in Jacob's life. And I just want to encourage you in some of the things that the Lord has encouraged me about in the last week or so, looking at some of these things, that God puts us through things for a reason in order to make us what we ought to be. And in those even difficult circumstances, we ought to rejoice and thank God and embrace the sanctifying work of God in our lives. Because God has a purpose for each one of us here. He's brought us to where we are for a reason. He has something He wants for us to do. And we need to recognize, okay, healing only comes from God. So if I've got some wounds, I've got some hurts, I need to go to God with those things. And secondly, I need to understand that that may not always result in everything going back to the way it used to be, but that's okay. God doesn't want us to be what we used to be. And listen, by God's grace, if I live another 50 years, I hope I'm not the same then as I am today. I hope that God continues working on me for my good and for His glory, to make me what I ought to be. And I hope that that's your prayer as well.